Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 26th day of April, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And then a bit later in the program, Dan O'Brien will join us to take a look at the agricultural energies. He's out in Kansas at K-State University Extension. And as we close out our time together today, we'll discuss the weather forecast too right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. By the way, don't forget this program is brought to you in part by you, our listeners. It's the partnership we have with you that makes sure that the ag programming stays with you every step of the way through the field in the growing season. If it makes a difference in your marketing plans for the year, please do make it a point right now to pledge your financial support to us at WILLpledge.org or willag.org and hit the donate button at the top of the page, or 217-244-9455. Again, that address is willpledge.org, willag.org, donate at the top of the page, or 217-244-9455. We're in the midst of a short and very quiet pledge drive, but we need your help today.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. May contract in the corn pit up 5 1/4 cents at $3.82 1/4 on a settlement price. July at $3.87 1/4, 5 1/2 higher. December up 6 3/4 at $3.94 1/2. May beans at $10.17 3/4 up 18 cents. July 10.27 1/4, 17 1/2 higher. And November beans at $10.09 up 11 1/4. Bean meal for the day up 4 cents at $33.94. The bean oil $6.90 higher at $3.23.30. July soft red winter wheat at $4.87 3/4 cents up a dime. And the July hard red at $5.42 3/4, up 5 1/4. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby April at $126.90, up $1.35. June there at $118.57 1/2, $1.97 1/2 higher. April feeders at $146.45, up $0.42 1/2. And the lean hogs in the May, $74.90, up, or rather down, 2 1/2 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do make a pledge to us online at willpledge.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's check in on some of the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil is currently trading $43.98 a barrel. It's $1.34 higher. Ethanol futures at $1.55 a gallon are down, or rather up, $1.04 1/cent. And the price of gasoline is a nickel and 2 cents higher on the wholesale. The RBOB at $1.56 1/2. Heating oil futures are diesel fuel at $1.03 3/10 1/cent, 4 2/10 1/cent higher. Natural gas down 3 1/10 at $2.03 2/10 1/cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 20 points lower at 17,882. The U.S. dollar at 94.54 is down 2.56, at rather down 0.256. And the gold futures at $1,242.30, up $3.40. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 o'clock this afternoon. A high of 79. 9 degrees on a northwest wind at 5 to 8. Tonight, a 30% chance of rainfall after 5 a.m. Cloudy with a low of 52. Northeast winds at 10 to 15, gusting to 23. And then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms after 7 for sure. About an 80% chance, a high of 66 on an east wind tomorrow at about 20 miles an hour. Wednesday night, showers, possibly a thunderstorm, an 80% chance of rainfall in the area. A low of 55 degrees, 30, a 40% chance of showers on Thursday, and then Thursday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 48. Things will clear out with a north wind at 9 miles an hour and show sunny skies on Friday at a high of 66 degrees. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 26th day of April. Have you called in yet at 217-244-9455? I'm going to push you just a bit this afternoon because it's the last opportunity to get through this very quiet, fun drive, and I'm going to be a little louder this afternoon. We're almost there. We're a couple $10,000 worth, about $20,000 worth of money away from making our goal of $90,000. And if we do that, we won't come back with a full pledge drive. So right now is a great time to make your pledge of financial support to the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's simple to do, 217-244-9455, or go online at willpledge.org, willag.org. There's a donate button at the top of the page on the full-size web page. Again, willpledge.org, 217-244-9455. It's really kind of important that you do that right now. It's an opportunity for you to let the folks here at WILL, Illinois Public Media, know that no matter how you listen to the program, whether you stream it live, listen to it on one of our many radio stations, listen to it after the fact, it makes a difference for you. Again, 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Wayne Nelson now joins us. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and our regular Tuesday afternoon analyst. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been happening in Chicago. Futures are there higher again in the soybean pit. While farmers really do like this, I suspect people are wondering why it continues.
That is a very good question. We're not sure if we got the answers. We'll tell you what we know that's out there. You know, we watched Dr. Cordoner dropped the Argentine production by 2 million metric tons down to 57. Last year it was at 60.8. So we continue to see a little erosion of the Argentine crop, a 500,000 metric ton drop in the Brazil crop, and a 3 million metric ton drop in the Safrina crop down to 79 million metric tons. That's one thing that's pushing it, but when you look at the final totals, that still doesn't add up to the rally we've seen. Crude oil's up strong. It's working on a bullish reversal. And we'd be at a five-month high if we trade up just a little bit here. And ExxonMobil was stripped of their AAA credit rating with us at a five-month high in crude. Now, doesn't that sound a little strange? The corn is stuck between 100 and the 200-day moving average and seems to be hanging in here good. But I think the biggest thing is probably just the fact that we saw a great influx of cash into the funds. We saw probably about $4 billion added to the fund money that flowed in here over the last 5 or 6 days. And they're backing up their positions. They're supporting that buying that they did last week. And fortunately, we've got back above $10 and around in the $4 mark in the corn. So that's something that's very good for the farmers. We're looking at some very bad production costs and numbers when you added them up until these levels.
We know that the fund money that has been coming in has generally been generated out of the Asia Pacific. Do we know the reason behind the move?
Oh, we've been told that that's the area that it came from. We're not 100% sure. But we've seen a lot of, if you look at the Chinese economy, we're seeing growth in its economy rather than what it's selling and exporting. And at home is buying a lot of things. We've seen the steel market has run up dramatically on their stock or their futures markets. We've seen a lot of things increase quite heavily, and we've seen that they are more of a consumer rather than just producer of products here in the last year. And it looks like some of their fiscal responsibility programs that they've been working are seeming to work to bring up the more consumption in-house or in the country of China.
Now, given what we've seen in the way of a rally in the last several weeks, is there anything that a producer should do now, or do they step aside and wait to see what happens?
Well, I think depending on what level you're at, if you haven't, you know, if you were smart enough not to listen to some of the things that we said a month ago.
It was most everybody.
I know. But, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm going to include myself in that. We didn't think we were going to get much below a 950 on this rally, and we're up above $10. I think if you haven't done much, you have to do a little pricing here and lock this in, because these are sustainable levels for farmers, as if we produce a regular crop here and look at things that way. So I think, you know, edge on in. I know that a lot of them are using the minimum maximum thing of buying a put and selling a call to cheapen it up a little bit. We might even be a little bit careful and say you might just buy the put and wait a little bit to put the call on, thinking that there might be a little more weather premium added if the long-term forecast by most of the forecasters do give us a warm summer.
Hey, thanks so much. Any final word from you, or shall we let you go for the day?
I think that we're going to get some rain, and the farmers going to get a little break here, and probably when they come back, they'll do a little selling.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Chuck.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, we're on the way to $90,000 in a very quiet fund drive, but it is our last day, so I'm going to yell at you just a bit more. If you haven't gotten on the bandwagon yet, today's the last opportunity. In fact, right now is one of the best opportunities. So dial in 217-244-9455 or online at willag.org. Hit the donate button at the top of the page. Even on your smartphone, you'll find that. Or willpledge.org. And once you're at all those places, make sure you let them know that you're supporting agriculture online. There's a checkbox. Again, look for a checkbox in support of agricultural programming. It's important to do. Frankly, it's the right thing to do. Working really hard here to help you stay on the farm. I know it's a tough time out there, but if you have the opportunity and the ability, right now would be a great time to make a donation at willag.org. Hit donate at the top of the page or call 217-244-9455. Again, that's 217-244-9455. Now, up next, you know, USDA yesterday released the weekly crop progress report. It shows around the nation farmers had planted about 30% of the corn crop as of last Sunday. That's nearly twice the pace of the rolling five-year average. Last year, by the way, at this same time, farmers had planted just 16% of the corn crop. 5% of the crop is emerged. The rolling five-year average is 4%. Warmer weather conditions across the central part of the United States and open field conditions allowed the nation's farmers to move quickly into soybean planting, too. They put 3% of the crop in the ground. The rolling five-year average is 2% for soybeans. USDA, in its weekly crop progress report, shows 26% of the winter wheat crop is headed. That's just about on pace with normal. The crop condition continues to improve with a slight jump in the good category for the second consecutive week. The current winter wheat numbers are 33% fair, 15% good. That's up 2 points from last week, and 9% excellent. Here are regional updates with audio from the state statisticians in four of the five top corn production states in the nation.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for the Upper Midwest Region for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rain slowed planting progress in much of Iowa during the week ending April 24, 2016. 40% of the corn acreage has been planted, 6 days ahead of last year and 11 days ahead of the five-year average. Farmers in the north central, central, and southeast Iowa have already planted over half their corn crop. 92% of the state's oats crop has been planted, 1 week ahead of last year and more than 2 weeks ahead of average. Oats emerged reached 40%, moving ahead of average for the first time this year. There were scattered reports of soybeans being planted. Pasture condition was rated 61% good to excellent, with pastures described as green and growing. Livestock conditions were reported as good, although some feedlots were back to muddy conditions due to the rain. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for the Upper Midwest Region for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Favorable weather conditions allowed producers to make significant progress on corn planting last week. Some soybeans were planted as well. The statewide average temperature last week was nearly 61 degrees, more than 5 degrees above normal. Rainfall averaged just over 3/4 of an inch around the state, 17/100 below normal for the week. Southern areas received above average rainfall, while the rest of the state was generally below normal. Producers pushed corn planting to 42% complete, up 30 points from 1 week ago, 16 points ahead of 1 year ago, and 17 points ahead of the 5-year average. 4% of corn acres have emerged compared to 6% normally. Eastern areas are lagging the rest of the state in corn planting progress. 2% of soybean acres have been planted, the same as the 5-year average. Oats planting reached 82% complete, 15 points ahead of normal, and sorghum planting is now 1% complete. Only 2% of the winter wheat crop has headed, compared to 13% normally. The condition of the crop was rated 5% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 68% good to excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Minnesota farmers made good progress planting between rain showers during the week. Though there were only 3.8 days suitable for field work, current year planting progress continues to make gains against the 5-year average for most crops. Field activities for the week included spreading manure, applying anhydrous and fertilizer, tilling, and planting. Minnesota's corn planting increased to 45% complete. That's 2 weeks ahead of the 5-year average and 4 days ahead of last year. This is the second highest amount planted by this date on record behind 2010. There were scattered reports of corn emerging and soybeans being planted in the central and southern parts of the state. Small grain seedings continued to be well ahead of average. Spring wheat planting was 46% complete. That's 2 weeks ahead of average, but 8 days behind last year. 9% of the spring wheat crop had emerged. That's 8 days ahead of average and 4 days ahead of last year. 68% of the oat acreage has been planted. That's nearly 3 weeks ahead of average. 27% of the oat crop had emerged. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 24, 2016. A warm stretch of weather made soil conditions ideal for planting corn and soybeans. Average temperatures ranged from 57 to 65 degrees, and from 6 degrees to 12 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.11 to 1.90 inches, with a statewide average of 0.85 inches. Jointing and winter wheat remains far ahead of last year and the 5-year average due to the mild winter and warm spring temperatures. The boost in temperatures were beneficial for the wheat crop as well, with 78% in good to excellent condition. Corn planted was 11% complete, compared to 2% last year and 13% 5-year average. Regionally, corn planted was 7% in the north, 12% in central, and 18% in the south. While the weather was warm and dry, farmers were able to get into the fields to get a good start on planting corn. Much of the livestock has been released to pastures this week, which are looking healthy and are growing well. Calving is also going well across the state. Potato, cantaloupe, mint, and watermelon planting continued throughout the week. Other activities keeping farmers busy included spreading fertilizer, finishing tillage work, spraying herbicides, top dressing wheat, clearing fence rows, and hauling grain. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 24th, 2016. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota for their weekly updates of crop progress. We appreciate them taking the time to tell us about their regions. Let's check in on one more region out in Kansas. We're now joined by Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State Extension. Joins us once a month to talk about the ag energies, but he's been around the state of Kansas, I'm told, this week. So we'll probably need to check in with him to see how planting progress is going for corn there and what the condition of the winter wheat crop is like. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Good, Todd.
Well, tell me about winter wheat crop first.
Well, we were, quote, bailed out by some rains that came in the last week, and they were sizable rains. You know, we got rains like you guys get, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 inches, and that's in western Kansas is a rare thing, but in eastern Kansas more common. So our wheat crop is getting pretty dry, and so we're setting pretty good now. Really, our concern at this point has more to do with what that moisture will do at in terms of making us susceptible to some of the major winter wheat diseases that are coming along. A lot of concern about stripe rust, and we found that in a number of our fields out here in the West already, and it's something that can be treated, but as you well know, it's a lot. There's a lot more motivation to treat at $5 and $6 a week than there is at $3 and $4. So anyway, we're presenting ag producers in western Kansas, western half of Kansas or more, with a pretty important economic decision to make. How much money do you put into a crop that has a pretty low selling price?
And are you suggesting that they do or don't put it into the crop?
Oh, we're suggesting that they do, but still, you know, if you're under cash flow duress and you're dealing with an ag lending institution that has tightened the reins on what they'll loan to you, it's more of a challenging situation. Probably on the margin, we'll treat a little bit less, I would guess, than we would otherwise if we had higher prices.
Is there a difference financially between your winter wheat producers in the western part of Kansas and those that are corn producers, which would be, I'm assuming, in the northeastern corner of the state?
Actually, yes, we have a lot of corn, of course, in northeast Kansas, but actually corn, grain, sorghum are throughout the state and on both irrigated and dry land. It's just a matter of what type of yields you expect on the crop and what type of cash rent you have to pay for the land, really. So anyway, we have corn, grain, sorghum, really crops all across the state except maybe for soybeans more so in the east. And we've planted 43% of our corn, according to the latest USDA numbers on April the 24th, and that's ahead of pace. So we're doing good. We even have, by survey numbers anyway, about 22% emergence. So things are looking pretty good, and this rainfall, of course, helps. In Kansas, it's not how we start. It's how we survive the summer. You know, if things get hot in July and August, that's the real test on these summer crops in terms
Now turn your attention to the agricultural energies. Let's start with biodiesel. How's it doing?
Surprisingly good, at least by the numbers that we're calculating. We've had a couple months of strong profitability in terms of what you see in biodiesel, both in March and now at preliminary estimates for April. We're making 16, 19 cents per gallon. So that's a very good thing. And of course, the jump up in the price of biodiesel for sales is a big driver there. And on ethanol, we're still looking at a continuation of the several months of losses. But we're only losing six cents a gallon instead of more like 16, 18, 20 or so that we were seeing the last several months. So even that's somewhat of a positive bit of news.
And just very quickly, the forecasts for the margins for ethanol, good or bad?
Well, we kind of know where the price is going. Absent any weather problems, it's what happens on the selling side. You know, how will the gasoline market hold up? And I think that'll be the tail of this thing.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Dan.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension, joins us from his offices there in Kansas. Don't forget to visit our willpledge.website or dial 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support to the ag programming here at Illinois Public Media. And make sure if you're online to check that box that says in support of ag programming. Also, if you're talking to somebody on the phone, 217-244-9455, let them know that is the case as well. Back in 2 minutes with the weather.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Pretzel Day. The pretzel dates back to as early as 610 AD, where it was believed that monks used scraps of dough and formed them into strips to represent a child's arms folded in prayer. The hard pretzel was the lucky result of a 17th century Pennsylvania baker's helper who accidentally overbaked a batch of soft pretzels. Not only was the batch crunchy and tasty, the master baker realized the moisture-less pretzel would keep fresh longer. On this day in agricultural history in 1921, the first U.S. broadcast of the weather was made from St. Louis over radio station WEW for the federal government. In 1986, Chernobyl nuclear plant in the Ukraine exploded in what was then the worst nuclear disaster in history. In addition to the human toll, agriculture and livestock was contaminated by radiation in large areas of Europe for years to come. In 2005, a herd of buffalo escaped from a farm and wandered around a Baltimore, Maryland suburb, disrupting traffic and shutting down several major highways. Police eventually herded them onto a tennis court. In 2006, Chicago banned the sale of foie gras. The ban, adopted on a 48-to-1 vote of the Chicago City Council, made restaurants and retail outlets selling the fatty livers of geese and ducks subject to a $500 fine. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley was less than enthusiastic. He was quoted as saying, "We have children getting killed by gang leaders and dope dealers, and we're dealing with foie gras? Let's get some priorities." And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Illinois Public Media. Dial 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support right now. WillAg.org, WillPledge.org. We're joined by Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the weather forecast. Don, I think we probably should start with the rainfall across the Corn Belt. Where is it and where will it be and how soon do all those things happen?
Well, it's one of those all-encompassing situations. As we look ahead here for the rest of this week, we're going to see that at least initially it's going to be out west. Nebraska, South Dakota, and Iowa, Missouri, going to be looking at quite a bit of shower and thunderstorm activity. And you've probably heard on the news there's a high risk of severe weather later today and tonight in those areas. And then across Indiana, Illinois, portions of Ohio, the southern Great Lakes, it looks like tomorrow and into tomorrow night and Thursday. And then there are other waves coming. It looks like about every other 2 days there will be some type of system moving through the Corn Belt Midwest, a couple of days of good weather in between. But it looks very much like exactly what you'd expect this time of year. Some frequent precipitation chances. Temperatures will be a bit below normal, but nothing too cold.
If it's a couple of tenths at a time, that makes not a lot of difference to producers. They can get in and out of the field, but if at any point they get more than that, whether it comes all at once or it comes over several events, things slow down. How much precipitation do you think will fall?
Well, I think with the initial system that's coming through this week, maybe one of the bigger and heavier precipitation producers, and that's going to be in those western areas, eastern Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri. Some of those areas could be looking inch and a half of rain. And as you usually get in these situations, you're going to get pockets where the heavier thunderstorms form, where you're going to get a little bit more. But I think that generally speaking, at least here in the short term, it's this first system that looks like it'll be the heaviest rain producer.
And is this the start of something on a regular basis? Do you think, you talked about later on this happening again, but do you see this as something that will persist for more than a couple of weeks?
Yes, I think it's really not going to be until after the 21st of May before the continental United States sort of transitions into a pattern that gets a little bit more stable. Until then, I think we've got a three-week period where it's going to be a pretty busy pattern.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Remember, you can always hear our programming anytime you'd like on our website at WILLAG.org. If you want to go to iTunes, you can pick it up there as a podcast or in any other way that you actually use podcast. Just let me know if you don't know how to do that, and I'll help you out. You can contact me at tgleason@illinois.edu. But right now, I want want you to do one more thing for me, because this is the last shot I have with you today, and this is the end of the fund drive. 217-244-9455. Don't wait. Just do it in the next hour or so, or when you get into the office tonight. It doesn't matter. 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support, or go to willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. If you're on willag.org, the full-size website has a button up at the top of the page that says donate. It's just a word. Says donate. You can go there as well. Thanks so much in advance to everybody who has participated, and I appreciate all of the effort that you put into putting a good crop in the ground this year. I'm Todd Gleason.